Hey y'all, hey, it is Dr. O. Thank you for joining us here on another episode of Dr. O After Dark. Tonight's episode is going to be so good. I am so excited because I am joined here with my good girlfriend and my sister, Priestess Kajara Nebetet. Did I say your last name right?
You did. Yeah,
So, thank you so much for joining us, Priestess. How have you been?
Oh, I am very thankful and especially thankful to have this opportunity to be here with you.
Wonderful, wonderful. So let me tell you about this magnificent woman. As you can see, she is an author. She's an educator. She does medicine and works with women. She has authored 13 books. She is an earth keeper, a light worker, a mother, and a grandmother, a community activist, founder of, say your name,
Raseki Arts Temple.
Raseki Arts Temple. Yes. And a social servant and scientist. So many credentials. So let's get right into it. Break all of that down. We got the professionalism out. Let's break all of that down and really get into it on Dr. O After Dark. All right. So now you tell us who you are.
So yes, I am a energy healer and a light worker, and it's my duty and my purpose to share lessons and light with my people. That's one of the reasons why I came back here. So I'm always happy to do that, and I share many different things with my people. I do work with women mostly.
Okay.
And also just teaching everything from yoga to nutrition, energy work and Reiki. I also teach some Black history classes to the children.
Oh, nice.
And health and fitness and things like that. That's my realm, working with the wellness, promoting health and wellness to our people so that we can live more naturally, working with our culture, because that's a big part of our healing process.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
So all of those things in many different ways.
Absolutely. So I was just before we started, I was saying how beautiful your purple is. And you gave me some great information that I did not know. So tell everybody about, if you can see from the head wrap to the eyeshadow and the lipstick, we are purple. Dan, I thought she was promoting the color purple for a minute. You know, hey, Oprah.
Right, right.
Come on over here to Dr. O After Dark. Fantasia, all y'all. Taraji, come on. But let's tell us about you and Purple Thursday.
So Thursday is ruled by the planet Jupiter. And because of that, we wear purple on Thursdays. So each day of the week is associated with a planet. Of course, Monday is Moon Day, Tuesday is Mars, Wednesday, Mercury. So each of these days also have colors in our culture that are associated with them. So when we are wearing the color of the day, then we can be more in tune with the energy of the day. So it tends to make the day go a little bit more smoothly, which is what we all want, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
So do you wear, like, would it be like a combination with the color in it? Or is it just like this, like every Thursday, all you wear is all purple?
Well, no. Some days it's just a little purple.
Okay.
But
it's still incorporated in it.
Purple is also my favorite color. And I was born on a Thursday. So,
well, it works out then.
It does. Spirit has a way of working things out. So, yes, sometimes, and today was just one of those days, it was like, okay, you're just going to be the purple one today. When I was in high school, I wore purple quite a bit, and they gave me the nickname Grape. Because, yes, purple is a thing. What can I say? So come on through, Oprah.
Yes, come on through with the purple.
The color purple,
yes. So let me get, would Sunday be obvious?
Sunday is the Sunday.
Okay. Absolutely. I didn't know. Now you may have been like, no, Sunday is, no, you know, Venus. And I would be like, oh, okay.
Venus is Friday. So, you know, Venus is associated with love and money, and most people get paid on Friday.
Okay.
So it is
love
a science
and money
that, you know, many people do know about, and we just have to use it more so that we could be in tune.
So you mentioned and you said one of the reasons that you came back was to just continue with the education and helping your people. So where did you come back from? Where'd you go and where'd you come back from?
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay, Dr. O. She's about to go deep. So I am one, you know, we are ancestors that return. Mm-hmm. And my home is the stars. I'm a star being. So that is where
so you've been coming back to the earth into the human form. Okay. Okay. I was thinking like you was coming back from to Atlanta. Like,
no, yeah. No. That's what I was like. Oh,
you yeah. No, we going deep. Yeah. We going deep, deep. Yes.
Right,
no, I
right.
love it. Do you know, so here I do a lot of like also past life regression.
Okay.
Do you do any of that
work? I do
work?
Some, yes. Absolutely.
Okay. Are you in tuned like with your past life or your future life?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yes. Who were you in your past life?
I have always been pretty much who I am right now.
Okay.
A medicine woman, a healer, a spiritualist, one who works with the elements mm-hmm. in the spirit world. That's my soul vibration.
Got it.
So each time I come back, I do the same thing.
Wonderful.
In fact, I have a picture of myself dressing up for Halloween with long hair. I had a thing around my head, beads on, long skirt. I look just like I look right now.
Oh my God.
Like 5 years old. That's what I wanted to be for Halloween. Like a gypsy.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's, you know.
Oh my God.
Vibration.
Now let me ask, so we know our history as far as African Americans to where we don't know much of our history and heritage. Have you ever like traced back your lineage or, you know, have any connections with Africa, the continent? Like,
absolutely, yeah.
I mean, I know. You look at me like, come on now. But no, we're asking for her. So tell us a little bit, you know, about that. Where did you trace back your actual lineage or?
Actually, I did not have to. One of my first cousins traced our lineage back to the San people, which are the same ones Nelson Mandela came from in South Africa, one of the oldest people on the planet. That's one of my lineages. There.
Wow. So did you get the opportunity? Have you ever got the opportunity to travel back to like South Africa or anything like that?
South Africa yet, but I do in my memory also have ties to East Africa, like Ethiopia and Egypt, which we call Kemet.
Mm-hmm,
So I have traveled there.
Mm. And how was that for you?
It was life-changing. It was just so powerful and beautiful and spiritual and just incredible, really.
I remember
those sacred sites, mm-hmm. the pyramids and the grandeur of it all, you know, is still with me to this day.
I remember the first time I traveled to Africa and I was going to South Africa because that's where I did my research at, my dissertation in South Africa. But we had a layover in Ethiopia.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, as you said, you've been to Ethiopia, so you might be familiar with this in their airport. It didn't go to like the gateway, like with the, you know, like they have here. It just landed on, and then they pull out the ladders and you walk down and then you have to walk to the gateway. But I promise when I first got off that plane and I didn't think it was going to be anything. I didn't travel all the time. But when I got off and my foot actually really touched the ground,
You could feel it.
I could feel it. I promise. It was nothing like it. It was like I can feel it saying, welcome home.
Yes.
That was like the most magnificent feeling. And I always encourage us to go, you know, go back. We travel so many places. So many right. people want to go to Europe and Paris. And let's the continent is beautiful.
Yes, it is.
So I have, it's funny that you resonate and found your tracing, your lineage back to the Sun people. When I was there, you know, I really connected with the Zulus.
Okay.
And so I've, you know, say they claim me, gave me a name and all of this. So I say, you know, now when I did my lineage, of course, it went to like East Africa, Nigeria and things like that. Mm-hmm. But if you're even familiar with like the Bantu people, which is what the you know, the Zulus are a part of, mm-hmm. they've also come from East Africa.
That's right.
And migrated down. And I just really felt close to them. I remember growing up, my mother teaching us about Shaka Zulu,
yes.
you know, and there was an African song that my mother used to sing. I come a Zimbo, Zimbo Zaya, I come a Zimbo, Zimbo D. See him there, the Zulu warriors. And so that is something I've sung to my kids as a lullaby and something I would never forget. And so being able to go there,
mm-hmm.
and being connected with the actual Zulu people and, you know, it's just an amazing.
No, that was powerful.
It was, I mean, so much. We can go in on all of that, even from the spiritual and herbalist side. Like yeah. I had my Nsengoma and that was the change for me in my life with the spiritual connection. I grew up as a, you know, as a Christian and things like that. But, you know, we always hear about these witch doctors. We see it on TV, you know, the Real Housewives, they went and took a trip there and they had da da da. And so I was like, I'm here. I want to see a witch, a witch doctor too, you
right.
know. And if I learned so much education, not witch doctors. So let's get that
That's right.
correct first. But that was my ignorance, you yeah. know, in that. So I met with an Nsengoma. And when I tell you, through translation, because he could even speak, you know, English or anything like that. But when I tell you, he read me and told me about things that, you know, like a lot of people, they'll think like with natural healers or readers and psychics and things like that, it's kind of skeptical, you
right.
know. Some of them, they'll say things that is very general. And if you are in a place, like a hurting place or something like that, or a very vulnerable place, and you go and you seek out, you know, from, you know, a psychic, or you speak to someone and they tell you, oh, well, you know, it's showing me that you have some hardship in your life. And a lot of people, they go, oh my God, yes, this is right. But I look at it like, no, you got to tell me something real, because
right.
who has not had hardship?
Yes.
Who has not overcome something?
Mm-hmm.
Who has not? So, but when this Nsengoma was like, I'm getting from your mother passed away. I'm like, say what? I ain't tell you that.
That's the difference.
You have two kids.
That's the difference between.
I ain't tell you that.
A psychic is just someone who could pick up on energy.
Yes.
They don't have a connection directly to a spiritual path necessarily. But spiritual people, we have a connection, you know, to other spiritual entities that really reveal what's needed, you know. And that it goes far beyond the psychic powers.
Absolutely. Yes. And because our ancestors
exactly.
are so powerful. And other folk
can't always tap into that. That's the reason. The ancestors do not speak to everyone the same, you know? And that's just
they might, if they recognize and realize that their ancestors is our ancestors too, because
yes.
they came from us.
That's true. That is very true.
You know, where we all was created at.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, they ain't not trying to hear that. Oh, I'm black. No. How dare we say that
right,
to them?
Right.
So, So tell us a little bit about like some of the services and things like that that you offer. I know we was talking about Reiki as, you know, here with my practice, you know, not only do we do talk therapy, we do EMDR and brain spotting, hypnotherapy, and a lot of spiritual work. And I was mentioning how we also do Reiki and everything. And I was looking at one of your books, I believe it was this one, The Level 2. And I was like, oh, you do, you know, I don't know. And you was telling me how your Reiki is different.
Yes,
it is. Than traditional or other traditional training. So tell us a little bit, because I know you have one coming up too.
I do.
Yes, yes, yes. So tell us about that.
So yes, I do Reiki teaching training. And we do Kemetic Reiki. So it is an African-centered form of Reiki. Mm-hmm. And it is a spiritual form.
Okay.
So we do work with spirit guides, with the ancestors. We talk about fasting. And, you know, level one really focuses on self-healing, because in our practice and traditions, a healer who wants to work with others has to do that work on themselves first.
Absolutely.
So we do focus on that part, that, you know, self-healing is important. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's an ongoing process.
Always.
But you can get yourself to a place where you feel more balanced.
Mm-hmm.
And so we also do offer level two training as well, which is the practitioner training for those who want to help others to heal. And our level two class is very lively, okay? Because our Reiki sessions are never quiet. We are chanting, we're playing instruments, we're praying over people, you know, talking to each other. So it's very different. I tell people it's like the difference between a Catholic church and a Holy Rollers church.
Okay.
So, you know, you gotta come.
Yeah, y'all pulling in the Holy Ghost in
there. We gonna pull all the holies up in there, yes. And, you know, we really work on purification of our people and ourselves, because we have to purify our minds, purify our hearts. Purify our bodies,
mm-hmm.
and our spirits. So when it comes to healing, we want to take the holistic approach.
Yes.
And really, you know, work with everything that we can work with.
And every part of us.
Part of us. So we do work with aromatherapy and crystals and herbs. And like I said, we're chanting, we're praying. We might even sing in a session if it's needed. But we do also, you know, singing bowls, tuning forks, but drums, you know, drums are very healing.
Yes, yes, they are.
You know, we feel them very deeply. So, you know, we use whatever is needed in our sessions.
Wow.
So I do the Kemetic Reiki classes, mm-hmm. and retreats as well. We travel all over the world. We did a retreat in Egypt doing Kemetic Reiki. We did attunements on the Nile River. It was so powerful.
Oh my God.
So
I can only. So I can't wait, because I want to go to, I'm excited. I want to go to your upcoming class that's at the end of January 2024.
Yes.
But now I'm torn, because, you know, I'm an international psychologist, and, you know, and things like that. I travel a lot, and I really believe in immersing myself into the culture.
Yes.
That is the foundation of my work. How can I work with someone and I'm not versed in that? That's not culturally competent if I don't know anything about, besides what I can research or read in the books. No, it's different when you really immerse yourself.
That's right.
And I can only imagine like the connection to the spirits and the ancestors of doing the attunement by the Nile, or just doing and having a Reiki training in the continent. And so now I'm kind of like, maybe I need to go to the one in, you know, when's your next international one or retreat?
Actually coming up in Jamaica in March, at the end of March. In Jamaica, we choose places that are healing spaces.
Uh-huh.
So like we're going in February, we're going to the beach, Pensacola Beach.
Okay, yes.
Quiet beach,
mm-hmm.
And you know, gives us the room.
I was stationed in Pensacola, so I'm very familiar. It's a beautiful beach.
It's very nice. And then Jamaica in March, and then April, we're going to Sedona. Sedona is one of our favorite places to go for retreats, because it's such the energy there.
In the land. Yeah, because I used to live in Phoenix as well.
Okay.
Yes. So, yes, I used to go up to Sedona all the time, get your crystals, the vortexes, being able to, you know, connect with the energies and the earth. That is a wonderful place with,
yeah. Such a strong feeling of the indigenous people who live there.
Yes.
Every time we go, someone ends up crying because you could feel their energy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a very spiritual, beautiful place. So we do go to other places like that as well.
Oh my goodness.
You don't have to wait. You could go more than one time. Come with us, sit down, come with us later.
You know, I mean, I would love to. I don't know if my pocketbooks say the same thing.
But we do work with, you know, people who want to come back, because if we do also have level 3 and level 4 classes. So if you want to be a teacher, you have to come back more than once anyway.
Exactly. So that's what I was going to, you know, ask more, you know, about, because I'm already in traditional Reiki level 1, level 2, and a master.
Right.
But I really love, and I didn't hear about it until meeting you, the African, you know, indigenous side of it. Right. And so I am all in, and you guys should be too. Did you hear all these places that not only here in the Atlanta metro area at the end of January, if you guys want to try that one, then we have March in Jamaica. We got February in Pensacola, Florida.
Yes.
And then we're going to, and I say we're like, then we're going to Sedona as well. So you guys have a plethora of places and opportunities to be able to, you know, come. If you're here in Georgia, you know, for the one in Georgia, if you're in the Carolinas or anywhere down the East Coast, come on out here to Georgia. Mm-hmm. If you're in Florida, or Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, all of the lower southern parts, come on out to the one in February in Pensacola. And the weather is beautiful in Pensacola in February.
Yes, it is.
If you're on the West Coast, Seattle, California, et cetera, New Mexico, even Texas, come on out to Arizona and shoot. Everybody know Jamaica's always a turn up. So
it's just a beautiful place for healing.
It is, especially when you get out of, and I would imagine when you get off of the beaten path of the tourism and the resorts. Yeah, the party is nice when you go to, but when you get out of that and you get into like the countryside and the indigenous part of, you know, and the mountainside and how beautiful it is. And
the waterfalls, they have the healing mineral waters. Jamaica is just a healing place. The food there is still very enriching and nutrient-rich.
Yes, but we're not going to talk about the Jamaican food. I mean, you're going to get me making me hungry.
I know, right? You're so going to have fun together.
That is going to be a time. And just to even just be there communing with other sisters.
Yes.
That sisterhood.
And
all of that, and the, you know, and not needing to be on a turn up with substances, or we getting turned up with the ancestors. Yeah. You hear me? You know, that is, oh my God,
And the retreats are so beautiful. A lot of people do create bonds.
Absolutely.
Coming to our retreats that last like, who knows how long. Like, we have a couple who just got married who met at a retreat.
Oh.
We have sisters who make friends, and they're like friends forever.
Mm-hmm.
And they act like they have been friends forever too. It's really, you know, it's a spiritual experience. So the ancestors have a way of working things out. I have had some people who were like questioning, well, who's going to be there and, you know, what's going to happen? And I'm like, it always works in a beautiful, spiritual way.
You're going to be there, and that's all you need to worry about.
That's right.
You're going to be there, and the ancestors going to be there, and you'll need to worry about nobody else.
Yes.
Worry, as long as you're there, you know, because it's not about that. What a lot of people think.
Looks right.
Yeah. The pettiness,
right,
and the back and forth and the yank, all of that. No, it's not one of those types of retreats.
No.
It's a retreat with like-minded. So many of us oftentimes it's like, oh, well, where are other spiritualists? Where are other this? Especially a lot of us who are on this new journey that is different than what we were maybe raised in or taught. Mm-hmm. Like myself, who grew up as a Christian, mm-hmm. parents, you know, was real into the church. We were the ones that would be in church 7 days a week and, you know, learn about Black Jesus and all of that other kind of stuff as a healer and, you know, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But when, you know, I became an adult, you know, I decided to delve deeper. And part of that was because my mother, she passed away when I was 20 years old. And for a huge part of my life, she was, or up until her death, she was basically like the intercessor, so to speak. You know, I left home and joined the military at 17, but, you know, I still, as they say, raise a child in the way it should go. I was still going to church. I would be in church on Sunday and be in a club on Friday and Saturday. It was just something, you know, it was something I didn't stray from.
Right.
But when it came to really having that one-on-one connection and relationship with the Creator, I didn't have. I would call my mom if something went wrong. I would be like, Mom, can you pray for me? Or Mom, what's that scripture? And then when Mom wasn't there anymore, I now had to pray for myself.
That's right.
I now had to find the scripture and things like that for myself. So it forced me in it. And when I was even more thrown and forced into it, a lot of things that I was brought up on in tradition and taught, I didn't agree with.
Yes.
And I couldn't, and I admit, I was angry at God because, you know, it wasn't like my mom was sick for, you know, a long time or, you know, anything like that. She went into the hospital for a routine, you know, procedure supposedly and didn't come back out. So I was angry. I'm like, God, you said, you know, have faith and believe in this and that and what you asked for, believe. And I was praying and going to church and asking for healing and everything. And you still took my mom. This does not line up.
Right.
And so when I began to question, you know, religion and things of that nature, that sent me on. I wasn't getting the answers from a lot of those who were Christian leaders. They were like, you know, you don't question God.
Right.
You believe, you believe. And I'm like, that doesn't help me,
right,
you know, through this. And so then, you know, that sent me on my own spiritual journey. Yes. I first became a licensed minister. I went to theology school through my church and, you know, thinking that was going to give me the answers that I needed. And it didn't.
No.
So then I started searching all world religions. I just went in from, you know, anything that I can think of from Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, you know, Buddhism, even though it's not a religion, but I thought it was at the time,
right,
you know, Wicca, so on and so forth. And then I kind of resonated with, you know, in regards to the foundation, I'm more into a more like a monotheistic type of religion versus, or spirituality versus like, you know, Hinduism, who believe in multiple God. I believe there's one God and different maybe pathways, whether it's through Jesus or Muhammad or our ancestors, to get to them, to get to him. But when I talk to others about, even my experience in South Africa, you know, those who I grew up with that are still really Bible thumpers and in a church, they don't understand and they don't get it. And it's like, you know, we're heathens or we're this or we're going to hell.
Right.
But there's so many others who are like myself who just had questions, and what they were taught in school or as a child in church and things like that, it wasn't enough. And so now a lot of us are on this journey, and more of a spiritual journey, and get connected with, you know, our ancestors and the root of spirituality. But it's hard to be able to have those conversations.
Yes.
Or be able to tell that to someone, because then they start looking at you like you got horns on your head. Oh, you a spiritual healer? The only healer is Jesus Christ.
Right, right.
Which, you know, that's good for you. But going back to the retreat, it puts you in a place with like-minded people who may be on the same journey.
That's right.
And that's not, you know, we all just trying to figure it out, sis. We just, you know, we here together. Mm-hmm. So I am super excited about, you know, about those things. And so when we look at and we look at the aspect of trauma, right? And what I deal with a lot is through like epigenetics. So, and developmental trauma or complex trauma, when we're looking at epigenetics and people are wondering why, you know, I'm still impacted by, you know, police brutality, and it didn't happen to me, but I seen it on the news, or why we can't get over slavery or the civil rights movement or what have you. It's because those things have, that trauma has been passed down in us through our DNA, through epigenetics. And that's why we're still reacted to that. So tell me, maybe with knowing that, how do you maybe work with trauma or those who have experienced trauma or seen trauma and getting that maybe even a deeper ultimate healing with going more of the spiritual route and connecting with our roots?
Yes, we do deal with a lot of trauma release. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I have what we call a release ritual, which is specifically to help people to release trauma and emotions and heaviness. Because we do, like you said, it mm-hmm. is something that's passed down through our blood. It comes through the DNA. It comes through the memory. It comes through our energy, you know.
Absolutely.
And the way that we're raised as well.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those things have an effect that we are in the process of shifting. We are transmuting that trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Ones like yourself, myself, and many others who are realizing that these things are still affecting us and we have to do some things to help. So that's when the sound therapy becomes really helpful. Reiki of all different types,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
massage therapy, because it's stuff that's really
yes.
inside of us.
Yes.
You know,
deep,
like,
embedded inside.
You know, when you get angry and people will say, calm down, but not realizing when you're angry, your body has secreted all these hormones that make it almost impossible for you to calm down until mm-hmm. a period of time passes. So it's a similar type thing, you know. We've had some time to pass, and now we're more aware. Like, my mother suffered with depression, but we didn't have a word for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not at that time. I didn't hear about depression until I was about 30 years old, like 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but now is more information available. So there's more that we can do when we're realizing what it is that we're dealing with. And, you know, depression is a direct result of oppression.
People say it again. Say that again. What you say
is a direct result of oppression.
Oppression. All right.
Yes.
Okay.
So even when we watch our movies, like the Butler movie, the Black Bottoms,
The Color Purple.
Where it's really obvious to see, you know, that mm-hmm. someone, depression, they're numb. They can't function. They're alive, but they're not really living.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that type of thing is what we have been doing to survive for hundreds of years. And now we're waking up, you
mm-hmm.
know, especially the young people, because they're like, no, I'm not even going to grow up with that type of energy.
Absolutely.
Because they automatically, like, it's it's a part of the beautiful things that's happening on the planet. That everything is shifting as the prophecies had said they would.
Absolutely.
And so the young people are being born with the energy, but they are rejecting it. Mm-hmm. And so the ones of us who came before them came with the information to help clear some of that stuff so they don't have to come up with that same type of depression as the generations before them, even though we're still living through racism and oppression. Mm-hmm. So we're healing through while enduring it at the same time, which it has made it much more difficult. That's why it's taken us a little bit longer. But yet we're still, that's just how powerful we are.
It is. And I think that, as you mentioned, it will continue, you know, to take us a little while longer if things are staying consistent. Right. In this world with racism, discrimination, how can we really? It's like someone who is being molested. Find out that your child is being molested and you take them to therapy. But they're still continuously in the home or in the place where getting them molested. Right. How are they gonna get healing from being molested if it's continuously happening, or even with domestic violence? You want to come back, you know, after you got your tail whipped, and you want to go back. Well, how can you really heal if you're going to therapy or doing whatever, if you're still embedded in that environment? So we are still, as Black people, still being molested and raped by the culture.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
We're still being beat up and getting our butt whipped, you know, by society. So how can we really get that abundance healing? Now, I'm not saying that to, you know, to give up or anything and then just to kind of take it and say, oh, well, there's no, you know, no chance. All I'm saying is that it's going to take us a little bit longer, and you have to really be, it's a little bit harder to really get through that.
Have to be really consistent.
Exactly.
You know, you're gonna fall down, you just get back up. You know, you might slip, just keep going. So it is definitely a process for us that we are working through.
Absolutely. And in our world, it's so much, I would say, I used to think that there was a huge, you know, the huge stigmatization with mental health and going to therapy was like in the Black, you know, community only. Like, you know, we didn't go to therapy. I didn't know nothing about therapy. People will ask me, oh, did you always want to be? No, I kind of fell into this profession because, again, growing up in the church, you take everything, you take it to the altar and you leave it there.
Right.
You know, you take it to God. What goes on in this house stays in this house. Better not be putting my business out in the streets and all of those different things. So it still has created a huge, even though more people are seeking therapy, it still has created a huge stigmatization. And so an alternative a lot of people want or resonate more with, a spiritual connection. Like, instead of coming to therapy, they'll go and get Reiki, because, and still have that same, the trauma, as you said, release from out of them. And that's why I also do Reiki here, is because not everybody is like, I ain't sitting on, you know, and telling you all my business.
Right.
So how do you, would you say that you've seen any of that or a lot of that in your practice, where people are maybe coming to you to get healing versus, you know, going to therapy or anything like that?
I would say I see more people who, when they're serious about their healing, they're gonna go wherever they need to go.
Okay.
So I do see a lot of people who do therapy as well as other modalities of healing, because they work together. And, you know, what I've learned is, depending on your level of trauma, you really gonna have to do a few things.
Yeah, in order you can to do the heal. Hard work.
It's gonna take some time. You know, you got to have those conversations with someone else because you need to release the feelings. And then a lot of times we don't even understand, you know, what we have been going through as abuse. A lot of people who are abused, they don't know that they abuse because they've normalized it.
Exactly.
Been normalized in their families. So, but when it comes time to heal, when they're ready, they're going to go to the Reiki person. They're going to the therapist. They're going to, you know, the massage therapist, the yoni steam, the foot deep, because it's
chiropractor, all of it, getting
clearing.
It out.
Yeah. And if you're working with good professional people, they will tell you, you know, you probably should go see somebody else too.
Exactly.
Because this one session that you got from me
is not,
it's going to be helpful for a period of time.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to,
all it's going to take is a trigger.
Exactly. And it's going
to
come right back
to where you were until you really deal with the root issues.
Say that again.
And you go back all the way. You got to deal with the root issues. You have to.
And that's what I deal with a lot is the root, is because what I tell people all the time is that analogy. Mm-hmm. Like if you have a yard or garden, you know, you can go and mow the lawn, make your garden look real nice, and it looks pretty for maybe about 2 weeks.
Right.
Then the little weeds, they start coming up again.
Yes.
And you can go back out there and you're going to mow the lawn again, or, you know, and they're going to come right back. You can keep on doing this. But if you want them weeds to stop coming, you either get you a weed killer.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
Or the main way you want to do it, the healthy and the organic way, because weed killers putting all that chemicals and all that kind of stuff, you know, in there, is you got to get dirty.
That's right.
You got to get on your hands and knees.
Yes.
And you got to dig it up at the root.
In order
for a weed to stop growing, you have to dig it up and pull it up at the root.
Yes.
And that's what we do here, is like, really, you know, they have solution focus and other these things, and that's just kind of like putting a Band-Aid over it. It's making it good for this moment.
Exactly.
But it's going to come up again, and it's going to come up again, and it's going to come up again. So what do we have that's sustaining? Unless you deal with that root, and as you said, a lot of people don't even know that they have experienced abuse or trauma, because we have this definition: trauma, PTSD, sexual abuse, molestation, war, natural disaster. Those are traumatic things. I remember having one client who I had diagnosed with trauma, and he was like, trauma? I ain't been to war, or I'm not a veteran or anything like that.
Right.
You know, I say PTSD for them. And what we negate is what's considered like complex trauma or developmental trauma, especially along that happens with the Black experience.
Yes.
A lot of us with the Black experience, not all of the Black experience is the same, but when we think about those who may share similar backgrounds with lower socioeconomic status, the struggle, single parenthood, being latchkey kids, everybody that laugh about the block of government cheese when a government cheese truck used to come around, all of those things, living in a high violence, high crime neighborhood, and you just trying to walk home from school to make it safe, we don't realize how all of those have impacted us in a traumatic way, because we negate it as to the Black experience. You know you got a Black mama if, she told you, you better get your profanity, but in its house before the street lights come on. Mm-hmm. A, B, C, D, A, G, you know, you've seen the memes. They'd be like, D, F, da, 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 and everybody laugh because they all know what it means.
Right. That is true.
And we don't realize as adults, 20, 30, 40, 50 plus, we just negate it as part of the human experience.
Yeah.
But what happens is that we're not dealing with this as the adults that we are now. We're frozen back into those developmental stages when we experience that trauma. When I was 7 years old and the lights got turned off, I had to walk through my neighborhood that was high violence and high crime and trying to get it home. That's where you're frozen in that age with the trauma. And so we're looking at, well, how is that impacting our life today?
Because it makes you walk with fear.
It affects your self-esteem, affects your relationships, affects your, you know, your work, you know, your trust, all of this, your safety, everything.
Yeah.
Because you're not dealing with this at the 30, 35-year-old that you are now. You're dealing with this with the 7-year-old who experienced it. And that's the root. So you come into therapy and you say, oh, well, you know, I'm feeling so overwhelmed and I'm breaking up with my husband and yada, yada, yada. And I want to work on recovering from this relationship. Well, no, we got to dig it back, baby. We got to dig it all the way back.
Yes.
To how did you even get in this relationship to begin with? Because he had all them red flags that you bypassed because you were so interested in filling that void of having somebody love me and somebody who wants to marry me. And now that it's over, it's all coming up. The same stuff that you're unworthy. You're not enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not lovable enough. All of it is coming right back up again. So, man.
Run from yourself.
Listen.
Everywhere you go, there you are.
That is less. So everywhere you go, that's where
you can put it out for a while. But it's eventually, you will have to deal with it.
It's going
to
be right back there. So you spoke about a whole lot today. And on this third day of Kwanzaa, that we'll be celebrating, so is about just, do you celebrate Kwanzaa?
I do.
Okay. Yes. And you know what? What's the third day of Kwanzaa?
We start with Umoja, Kujicha Kulia, and then it's Ujima.
Yes, we're in Ujima.
Okay.
Yes, we're in Ujima. So as we celebrate Ujima on today, it is about a lot of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
That collective work and responsibility. But what I also love about, you know, just being in Kwanzaa and things like that is uplifting and educating and coming together with our people. So all of these, if you did not know, all of these are some great and wonderful gifts for Kwanzaa. I'm looking at this one for my daughter. I am mind, body, and spirit. So tell us a little bit about some of your books. I know that this one is one of your latest ones, and we also have the Oracle cards. Ooh, I wish we had time for me a reading. That would be so. But again, we're gonna do it another time.
Yes, I would love that. But I do have books that focus on healing. So we have, this is our chakra workbook, which everyone's talking about the chakras these days. But we have to understand that working with the chakras is more than just crystals, and it goes very deep. Each of those chakras has lessons that come with them.
So briefly tell us, for those who don't know, what are our chakras?
So chakras are energy centers, and they are what connects us with everything else in the universe. The chakras are connected to sounds, colors, fragrances, planets, thought processes, feelings. They are what keeps us connected and keeps our energy, and they're connected to organs and glands. So they help to keep us moving. In ancient Kemet, we call them the souls of Ra. So they're also spiritual centers as well. And that's why it's important for us to understand them and to work with them, because most of the time we don't think about our spirits. You know, we don't think about our own energy and what affects our energy. So things that we, all of our senses, things that we see, taste, touch, smell, and feel can throw us out of balance. Just think about if you smell a foul smell and you're like, ooh, it just makes you feel away. And it's the same if you smell a good smell. So we understand how things affect us, and we can use the same types of things to bring us into balance. So they can take us out of balance, but then also we can use them to bring us into balance. And that is all dealing with the chakra energy. So this book here has exercises, yoga poses, recipes.
Yeah, 21 days of healing is what, and this is Revitalize Your Chakras, a workbook.
Yes.
And this one's mine, so y'all gotta get your own. I'm claiming it.
All right. And it also has a journal, so we have the journal.
Oh, that goes with it?
The workbook has the exercises. The journal has questions that you can ask yourself and write about, because that is part of the deeper work, to go deep within and, you know, ask yourself, like we've been talking about, the childhood, inner child healing. So you sometimes have to ask yourself, what is it that I need to heal from, you know, from my childhood? Because like you said, some people don't realize that they need to heal from these experiences, being a latchkey kid and such. But even when your parents, if they told you a child should be seen and not heard,
yes.
that will block your throat. And you would be a person who will grow up unable to express your emotions because as a child, you weren't able to do it easily. So yeah, many of us. And the journal helps to get into those types of questions and lessons. And we have...
Oh, no, before you, I just want to say something because I, you know, that really resonated with me as, you know, with me and my husband. I'm one that's more like conflict averse. My client told me yesterday that that's avoidant. But I'm conflict averse, where my husband, you know, he's not one that likes conflict, but he's not one to shy away from it neither. We're going to talk about this.
Okay.
And the difference is, I believe in just what you said, I was raised under, you know, you speak when you're spoken to, kids are seen and not heard, don't talk back.
Right.
And so on and so forth, where he talks about his mom was, you know, very open with him. He had a question to what his mom said, he can ask him a question. I get slapped in my mouth like, you ain't asking no, you don't ask me. Who you think you questioning? Yes. And I remember when my husband and I was dating and I was at his cousin's house for a family function and his nephew was over there who he probably had to be maybe 7-8 years old. And my husband had told him to do something. I don't remember what it was. Go pick up something, go do something. And the little boy was like, why? I turned my head like, who are you what talking child, to?
Right?
Who are you thinking to? And my husband was like, well, because. So I said, did you just answer him like he's your equal? And he was like, yeah, it's about, you know, he asked the question, it's about communicating. You know, he didn't understand something, so he asked a question, and that's how my mom was with me. And I'm like, nah, bruh, you know. But when I look back at it, and as you said, now I am one that is more conflict adverse. I won't stand up and talk, I'll avoid, I'll ignore. If we can, I cannot talk about it until it bubbles up and bubbles over, then that is me. Whereas my husband is like, nah.
Let's talk about it. Right,
we're going to talk about it. Yes. Yeah, so, wow, that is, y'all get this. Y'all know I love my journal. So this one is mine as well. So what else you have here?
So we have the Healing Ritual Magic Book, which that book has rituals, things that you could do. It's one for women, womb healing, family healing, ancestral healing, men's healing. So just different aspects of our community that sometimes we need to focus on, you know, specifically for the healing process. So that one is also one of our favorites, and especially in the family, like this whole season that we're in, families are coming together, and a lot of families do have conflict that they don't really know how to resolve. So there's a family healing ritual in the book that can be helpful to give you just ideas on how to resolve those conflicts.
Oh,
because
this
a lot
is
of
wonderful.
Times it really is having those deep conversations that people tend to avoid or just really don't want to go there. But really, that's where the healing is. It's in those deep conversations.
Wow. And so I just pulled up, like just as I opened it, it opened up on this heart healing ritual. And it shows the items needed. And one is the rose quartz stone. And I find that kind of interesting because we think of, when I think of the rose quartz, we think of love. Yes. Now, which is, you know, right with your heart. Yes. But I don't think that many of us put the heart healing together with that. We use it to bring love and affection and all these things to us. But first, before you can even bring that, what needs to happen?
have to love yourself first.
You have to love yourself, but you have to do that work and heal that heart.
Yeah, absolutely.
I tell people all the time is that, you know, if you ask somebody, do you love yourself? Of course, they're going to get offended. Like, of course I love myself. But most of us don't even know what that truly is. That's and true. How you have to do the work, you know, in that. And I'm speaking from my own experience. So when you get to a point in your life where anyone that's in your life is not because you need them there. Mm-hmm. See, oftentimes that's what we do. I need this person here to love me and make me feel loved so I don't have to worry about all the negative beliefs and things that are in my mind or that I was taught from my childhood that I'm unlovable, I'm this, I'm that. He loves me, she loves me, and so as long as they're in my life, I feel loved. But what happens, as we talked about, when they leave, when we break up?
Right.
All that same ish that was there before comes right back up because you didn't do the work and you didn't do the healing in your heart. Oh, I'm unlovable. I'm so this, I'm so that. Because we're looking for people to fill that void and not us filling it yourself. So you know that you're good and ready and a healthy partner and a helpmate when you're able to say that anybody in my life is because I want you here, not because I need you here. Yes. So if you were to leave today, death, breakup, whatever, I'm still good.
Absolutely.
Because you were an addition and you wasn't needed, but I wanted you there. So, ooh, child, I love this. Heart healing affirmations.
Thank you.
Love myself. I love every part of me. I am love and accept myself the way that I am. This one is mine too, because y'all know I do the meditation Mondays. They got some great meditations in here. Y'all know I do my affirmations on the page. Y'all gonna be seeing some of these affirmations and some of these meditations, but get your own. Don't be coming to my to Dr. Olivia West looking for your information when you need to get it yourself and do your own work. Yes, let's get into these cards.
Yes, so this is our most recent project that we have published, and they are oracle cards. So oracle cards are really good because they give you kind of like short messages, and we have on these cards symbols as well as images. We have the goddess Sekhmet. Some of them have colors.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Yeah, look at those.
Yes.
So, and then they take you back to ancient Egypt.
Is this a roach?
That's actually a Keppra beetle. It is.
Okay, good. Because I was like, I don't know. You know, we in Georgia. This looks really big, like them water bugs. I'm like, either it's a beetle or it's a roach. Let me turn that one. I want to know what that means.
It's a symbol of transformation, actually.
I mean, you open it up and you hand. This was the first one that came. Yeah. So, symbol of transformation.
Yes.
And we're moving from 23 to 24.
Yeah. So, actually, that's a great sign for you, because the dung beetle is what it's called, and they watched it as it goes into its cave while it's pregnant, and it digs this ball of dung that it takes into the cave, and it eats off of it until it has its babies, and then the mother makes her transition, but the babies have the dung left to eat off of, and then, you know, after they grow to a certain size, they all come out. So the ancestors said, wow, she goes in one but comes out many. And
wow.
So seeing that as a symbol of regeneration and how we are able to transform ourselves.
And all you gotta do is eat your own.
No.
Deal with your own. That's what I mean by eating it. In order to transform, you gotta deal with your own dung.
That's a good way that you just added that piece.
See, Dr. Owie coming in. Yes, you gotta deal with your own dung in order to transform many. How about that? So y'all know, because I have my favorite, you know, from my ancestral guide and stuff, is that, you know, I do my Udu, my Udu tarot.
Yeah,
so, you know, You know, we have, you know, the book that comes with the Nicene. You have the book as well that kind of comes with yours and explains. So for those who may be like, oh, why do I need that? The novice, I don't know how to do readings. It helps you and tells you exactly what the cards mean and how, you know, you read them and things like that. So I love it when you brought up yours, it resonated with some of like the pictures. I don't know if you can see these and things like that, that's on here from like our ancestors and so on and so forth. So I use these a lot with communing with the ancestors when I'm doing readings on myself or my clients, because we add that in, you know, to our therapy as for those who want those readings. So I am excited. And once again, I mean, y'all know I'm taking these two.
Okay.
These are mine as well. And we got, because you have 13, we will not be able to get through all of our books today. But here is the Arising Nation, a guide for priestess, priests, and community leaders. That's mine too, because yes. Uh-huh. And then we already talked about the Reiki level two, and you have the one that goes with level one. Do you, is this a book? Do they get these books as part of, if they were to attend the Reiki?
Yes, absolutely. The books come with the class.
Ah, so I'll save this book. I'm not going to steal this one or buy this one this time because I'm going to get it with the Reiki.
Okay.
Recipes for Elevation.
Yes. Because a big part of our healing, even mental health, has to do with our bodies and what we're eating, because that has a lot to do with how we feel. So we have to learn to eat more healthy, especially these days when the food is super toxic. The food, the water, and the air has been poisoned. So it's really important for us to learn how to eat more healthy, just for our own overall health and well-being. So that's
now, is this plant-based?
It is.
Or you got some chicken in here?
No. We do encourage people to stop eating meat because, you know, speaking about chicken, like, you don't even know if you're eating real chicken anymore.
I eat halal.
Halal was probably the best.
Yes, I eat, yes.
If you're going halal, like KFC, they had to take the word chicken off of their title.
Because
it's not,
because it's like not, we didn't know.
Meat or something.
They did that back when they changed it. I was like in middle school or something. I haven't eaten KFC since.
Right.
Because I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah.
But it's the same with
most
Popeyes, churches, you know, anywhere else. So yes, that's, you know, why we mainly, I'll cook halal. If I can find a halal restaurant, we'll eat halal. But, you know, I mean, I love my Popeyes.
Don't go to McDonald's anymore. You know they have that video of them putting that McDonald's happy
with all and all that stuff
for like 15 years, and it looks the same as it did when you bought it. You can look that up on YouTube.
It's definitely
toxic.
It is.
Don't do it to yourself.
But
because
it
will affect your mind. It affects
Often when you cut it out. Oftentimes I will have, like, I don't eat, you know, a lot of, but I have cravings for it. I'm like, ooh, I got a taste for a while. Now I go eat it and I'm like, oh my God, this was so disgusting. Why did I get it? Oh my God. You know, so yes, this is another great book, especially for those who are plant-based or looking into what eating to your blood type and, or you, as you said, wanting to make the change.
Yes.
To plant-based. Now, do you do you have in here like, what is it, like satay or any other type of alternatives? Like what is that that they use? What tofu or anything like that?
Maybe some tofu recipes in there.
Okay.
And this book also has recipes for personal products, spiritual baths, raw food, smoothies, teas, tonics.
I love with spiritual baths.
Vegetarian dishes as well.
Nice. Ooh,
but you know, making
watermelon
your
wave.
Own toothpaste or
salad.
Making your making your own lotion and things like that, because those products are pretty toxic as well. You know, toothpaste has that fluoride. You shouldn't be consuming that at all, but you can make your own
tooth
powder and such.
Wow, nice. And then we have these last ones. Toss them.
So Sekhmet Rising is about the great mother Sekhmet, who also is the Sekhmet from the cards. And okay. So Sekhmet is an Egyptian goddess. And for us, we don't see them as separate because they are aspects of the Most High, just like we are. Like everything in nature is a part of the divine creator. So Sekhmet is the part that represents healing. She is a warrior. She's a lioness and a fire goddess. And so dealing with all of those energies, and that's what that book is dedicated to.
Wow.
Just understanding her energy.
Yes. Wow. So tell us, where can everybody find you? How can they connect with you? How can they get a reading, come to the retreats, purchase some of your books, products, et cetera, et cetera?
All right. So you can go to my website directly. It's rasekihealing.com. RASEKHIHEALING.com. We have the classes, retreats, and products listed there. Also, of course, I'm on social media on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. And just go to look for Rasekhi Arts Temple. Now, be warned, I do have quite a few fake pages. So definitely whenever you're looking for us on Instagram and TikTok, look for the one that has the most followers, because that's the oldest and most original of all. Because, you know, the fake page thing is a trend.
Okay, I mean, but no, but it's you ridiculous. Get it. But look, you know you have arrived when people start making fake pages of you, you know. Somebody, you know, you can make a fake page of, you know, Dr. O so that I can tell everybody, oh, that's my fake page. You, that's like when you arrive, when people want to emulate you and try to, you know.
Yeah, so just don't fall for the fake ones. I'm not going to ever go into your inbox and ask you if you want a reading. I do offer readings, but you do have to go to the website to book that reading. I just don't have enough time to DM people in that kind of way. So, and that's from any of the fake pages. If someone comes into your DM saying, oh, my ancestor said you look like you need a reading, that is a red flag, y'all.
And
don't
they will.
Go for it.
And they do. Will.
They
will.
Don't fall for that trick, okay?
Especially when you start doing the work and you start opening up.
Yes.
And making those spiritual connections. It's like, for me, the very next day, I had all of these people like, and I'm like, wait a minute. Where are y'all coming from? Like, what?
You're right.
I ain't told nobody what work I'm doing, because I'm, you know, just trying to figure it out. And next thing I know, I got somebody from Nigeria and talking about my ancestors and this, and I'm like, where y'all come from?
It's a scam.
Listen, it's a scam. That's, but they must be tapping into somebody, because to know the reason.
They do have some, you know.
Yeah, but it's still
energy, but it's not what you want.
Exactly. That's what you know. What you learn is not what you want. And that is just as well as positive energy and positive intentions. There's a negative as well. So we learn, like I learned going back to South Africa, is like they call it muti. So you can get good muti or you can get bad muti.
Okay.
But if you get the bad muti to put it back on somebody else, then know that it can still come back on you as well. So we stay away from that.
Yes,
positive
absolutely.
Vibes.
Only.
Mm-hmm. Thank you again so much for joining us on another episode of Dr. O After Dark. I had a wonderful time. You all, please make sure again you celebrate Ujima with your families and doing the community work and supporting getting some of these great books to add to your Kwanzaa celebration and to offer education and healing and all that we are about.